What's happening, everybody? This is your man, Mr. No Excuses, with another episode of the Hidden Truths Podcast, where we're talking about those things that tend to make people a little bit uncomfortable, those conversations that we tend to sweep under the rug. So the Hidden Truths Podcast, y'all, what are those things that you're hiding? What are those truths that are potentially holding you back from becoming a better you? So before we jump into today's topic, we got a couple guests in the building with us. We got my man Von in the building.
Hey, hey.
And we also got my man Jamie in the building.
What's going on? What's going on?
All right, all right. So the topic of today is legacy. Defining legacy. What is leaving a legacy mean to you? Especially, and I'll go ahead and kind of give a little bit of my insight on it. Especially in the Black community, we typically don't leave behind legacies. We leave behind debt in terms of what we're leaving for our offspring, our next generation. You know, a lot of people think that just having a child with your last name is leaving a legacy. You know, some people may think that, you know, I have to have a certain amount of accumulated wealth to leave a legacy. So yeah, we just want to dive in to that topic of legacy. You know, what does that mean to you? How are you leaving a legacy? What is a part of your legacy? Mm-hmm. And what legacies may have been left down to you?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let y'all go ahead and spit on that topic.
Well, legacy, man, it means everything. It's more than a last name. I have two sons, and it's my job and my duty to teach my sons what school won't teach them, and also to teach them how to be a Black man in today's society, how to be an upstanding citizen in this world, and to contribute, and to not just have a handout, but also want to lend your hand out to help. Leaving a legacy, man, is something that your children can remember you by, something they can be proud of, say, hey, my dad did this, my mom did this, as opposed to having that enthusiasm of saying my mom and my dad, they did this, to saying, man, my mama did this, man, my daddy did this. That whole tone, you can tell whether it's going to be some bad news or some good news that follows behind that. And when I leave this earth, and hopefully it's, you know, far into the future, but whenever I do decide,
yeah, whenever I get ready to leave.
Okay, yeah, okay, so it ain't up to me. Let me push my ego aside. It ain't up to me. But whenever my time here on this earth is up, I want my sons to be able to say, man, my dad set us up to be great. My dad left us, you know, he left us money. Yeah, he didn't leave us any debt. Like you said, sometimes, you know, a lot of times in the Black community, that's what's left.
That is the legacy.
It's debt. Either debt or it's
pain.
Exactly. It's a bunch of pain. And I don't want to leave that. I want my sons to be able to look at me and say, man, my dad was great. My dad made sure that everything was taken care of. He made sure that we were taken care of. He made sure that he was strict on us, but he wasn't strict to the point where I didn't feel like he didn't love me, you know. And he passed down the tools that I needed to now father my children. That's what I want him to be able to. I want my children to be able to look at and say, man, my dad passed down tools and experiences and information for me to be able to teach my kids. You know, that's what I want Tyson or Ace to say. And you know, I'm great that my dad, grateful that my dad is still living. And though,
you mean your big brother?
Swear them two look just alike. He might look a little younger.
He don't have the facial hair on his face like that. So I might.
And his kid's grown. Your kid's a toddler.
Right, right. So you know, there's a lot of good gems that my dad has passed down to me, but I want to be able to leave things for my son. So for instance, like my house I have right now, I bought my house 8 years ago, and I don't have any intention on selling that home. I want to be able to pass that down to Ace and to Tyson, so they can be like, you know what, my dad left us real estate. you know, the house is paid off and they can make an income off that.
They start with a leg up.
Right, right. Because essentially, that's what we usually see in white society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white people are traditionally the ones that leave their offspring real estate or finances or trust funds.
Right.
Or I want to be able to do that. A lot of us in the black community don't have life insurance. I have life insurance.
Yeah.
Something happens to me, guess what? My kids and my wife, they'll be fine. They'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
They'll be good. And at least, you know, my spirit can leave and rest easy to say, I know that my children and my wife are taken care of, versus leaving them in knee high in debt, turmoil. I gotta
pass the collection plate at the funeral.
Right,
pay for
the
casket.
Right. I got a family in Charlotte, and I got another family somewhere else that they don't know about that they find out about at the funeral, which is what happened in my family.
Oh,
my granddad, my granddad passed in 2006. He had two other kids my grandmother never knew about. My grandmother didn't know anything
about
that.
Legacy.
And I found out when I got down to Alabama at the funeral, and it's like, you got two other aunts. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like, no, I got one aunt. What are you talking about? No, you know, your granddad had two other kids. And I'm like, what? And then come to find out, one of them is like 4 years older than me. And I'm just like, what?
Auntie sister.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's no knock against my granddad. My granddad taught me a lot of things. Like, I would not be the man I am today if it wasn't for him shaping me as a child and teaching me certain things about myself, about the culture, about black community in general. He's a very no-nonsense type of person. But the legacy that he left my dad, and which ultimately he left me, was, you know, to make sure that you stand up and you take care of your business. And, you know, if you do something and there's consequences behind it, hey, be a man about it. Take what your consequences are, because you decided to make those decisions, and you keep it pushing. So, you know, I want to make sure that I'm teaching Tyson and Ace, especially, and I keep emphasizing my sons, because black men in this society, man, they, oh my God, man, black boys in this society most of the time are often left to be raised by women. Who, not saying that they can't do an awesome job, because there's a lot of women that raise some great men, but it's hard to raise a man because there's certain things that you wouldn't be able to teach them that a man can, a real man can.
A woman can raise a man, but she can't. A woman can raise a boy, but she can't teach a man how to be a man,
right?
Or teach a boy how to be a man,
right? Right.
And it's either in a situation like that, you know, where if there's a single parent household, which unfortunately happens far too often in the black community, and there's reasons behind that, but we'll save that for another podcast. It's either the woman raising them or the streets raising them.
Right.
And there is no the legacy is pain. The legacy is
abandonment.
And that's what a lot of our young black boys are internalizing. They don't have that man to look up to. They don't have the Von to look up to as the father figure, or the grandfather to look up to as the man that they should be being raised by. You know, they're being raised, you know, by single parents, by single mothers most of the time. And so they're starting the race of life two laps behind already. So not only do you have to deal with issues in the home, absentee father, you know, and a lot of times, you know, mothers do the best that they can, but I've seen other instances where mothers take out their frustration with the baby's father
on the kid.
So you're dealing with that. Now you also have to go to school and deal with the issues at school, you know, the bullying, the pipeline, the prison system, the poor, a lot of times lack of education in the education system. Then you have to deal with the world in itself. You have to deal with the politics that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Deal with your skin being a different color.
Yeah, you got to deal with being black.
Right.
You got to, especially as a black man. So that's a lot to internalize when you're a young child. So, you know, in terms of building a legacy, you know, that's very admirable and applaudable to have a black father. And granted, you know, we do have a lot of black fathers that are doing their thing in this world. You know, I look at my father, you know, even though he wasn't in the home by the time I turned 14, but he was always part of my life, so I'll never knock him for that. My oldest brother, you know, he stepped in and kind of became that father figure in my life when my dad stepped out. Mm-hmm. And even now, you know, he has children that he's, you know, raised to be contributing adults, and, you know, he's definitely the father figure in their life. You know, what a father should be, what a man should be to his offspring.
Right.
So that's the legacy that that we need to start leaving behind, you know, because a lot of us have started a leg behind, because our generation, our parents, didn't have a lot of the tools that are at our discretion now, i.e., you know, quick access to information, you know, more job availability, quicker ways to entrepreneurship in a sense. You know, a lot of the older generation, all they knew was, I just got to go to work and pay bills and do what I can to make sure my son and my daughter doesn't end up in the streets.
Right.
You know, now we have more latitude to say, well, okay, I don't have to teach you not to be in the streets. You know, that's a byproduct of me teaching you the proper information or raising you the right way. So now let's look at what it looks like to be a college student. Let's look at what it looks like to be an entrepreneur, to start your own business. Those are the things, you know, let's look at what it means to invest in the stock market at an early age. Mm-hmm. You know, let's teach you about real estate. Those are the things that I see in our generation, you know, 30, you know, late 20s, early 30s, on up to 40s, that we are able to now teach our kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I wanted to have that convo about legacy. But I want to put a different spin on that. But first, I want to get your insight on that too, Jay.
I think when I think about legacy, it's interesting, because you can only do what you know, or what you're brought up to know, as in giving somebody your legacy. Because I wasn't brought up with a silver spoon. I got student loans like everybody else. My parents didn't.
I ain't got student loans.
Oh, excuse me. So I apologize.
I got him.
Thank you. I got enough that he can have some. I think it comes down to me just being more understanding. When I was in college, and, you know, me paying for my own college and doing that, I got mad. I'm like,
somebody else should have been doing that.
Yeah, I thought that was my parents' job, or at least to help, or to have, you know, something set up. And I mean, I went to a white school. I went to UNC Charlotte. So I see these people, the line to the financial aid was dark. It wasn't light by no means.
And that's in every college.
Dark road.
So I'm you know, for a while I was very upset. Like, my parents didn't do what they were supposed to do. But as you get to a point, hopefully you learn that it's not actually their fault. Because if they're not taught it, how can they leave that legacy to you if they're not taught that I have to save money for my college, my kid to go to school? Like you were saying, Ernest, that they're taught to feed you, make sure you stay out the streets, and that's their legacy.
Yeah.
And sometimes people don't understand that that's what they know, that's what they can give you.
Because in their generation, I'm pretty sure most of us, you know, parents may be in a similar age bracket, or grandparents or whatever, but college, that wasn't at the front of their mind. Right. It was, I gotta work, I gotta make sure I put food on the table, you know, just to get by.
Right.
Like, that was the mentality, just enough to get by. So saving up for college when they're working minimum wage jobs, now I don't have the money to save for college. I hope you can get a scholarship, I hope you get some financial aid, but mom and daddy can't do it. A lot of times, like, you know, by the time I got to probably fourth grade, like, my classwork was to the point, like, my parents couldn't help me with it anymore.
Right.
You know, luckily I picked up on it pretty quickly, but, you know, if all they know is up to, you know, a certain level of education or a certain outlook on life, you know, yeah, they knew I probably needed to go to college, but that was it. They couldn't really tell me the hows, the ins and outs, the how to pay for it and all that. So, like you said, Jay, they can only teach what they know, and then it's on us to do the rest and pick up the pieces. But now you know.
So now I have to give that
right
to my kids, and
you have to break that generational curse.
Yeah, generational curse.
Because essentially it is. When we look at curses, we think of alcoholism or stuff like that, where drug abuse or whatever that can be passed down from generation to generation, but also the fact that you're unknowing about things can also be a generational
ignorance.
Curse. And yeah, ignorance. And it is up to us to be able to break that generational curse and to pass something new down to our children and our offspring or nieces and nephews or, you know, people that you may be mentoring. I know you mentor a lot of people, E. You mentor a lot of kids and stuff. That's still, you never know what you say or do for this person, this kid, this, you know, 12-year-old kid, that it may stick with him for the rest of his life and may ultimately it can alter the course of his life. You know, he may be thinking about doing something stupid, but you may talk to him and say something and he's like, you know what, that probably isn't the best thing to do, right? Which can save him from dying or going to jail or, you know, getting a record or whatever the case is.
Yeah, a lot of times, and that's a great segue too, because I was having a conversation with somebody maybe about a month ago, and you know, they brought up the fact that, you know, I don't want to have kids. I have no intentions of having kids. And then, of course, that spawned into a whole nother conversation. But, you know, that topic of legacy came up. Well, if you don't have kids, how are you gonna leave a legacy? And my response, well, I don't have to have kids to leave a legacy. A legacy is more than just having kids. That can be a part of your legacy, but that's not the end all be all. For me, the way I define legacy is through my works. Look at a lot of our great leaders. You know, look at your Garveys, look at your X's, look at your Kings, look at your Tubmans, your Nat Turners. Look at all those greats. We recognize their names, but we're not all that intimately familiar with their offspring.
Right.
So their legacy is defined by their work, not by their children. So you don't have to have kids to leave a legacy. Your legacy is defined by how you impact and how you influence someone else's life. What am I doing? And I mentioned this before, you know, what am I doing that is going to make somebody else's life that much better? So yeah, I define my legacy by the influence that I have on the kids that I mentor, and not even just looking at it from the level of kids or anybody that's younger than me, but looking at the work that I do in the community, the inspiration to others, you know, being that listening ear, being that person, that go-to person,
right,
being that inspiration to others, being that leader at the forefront, you know, being that community activist, you know, there is where you're leaving your legacy. So yeah, that's how I kind of broke that down to him. And some kind of understood it, but a lot of people still confine legacy with, well, I'm just leaving my last name.
With children, yeah. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, if you think about it, we're leaving out the elephant in the room. The podcast, that's a legacy.
Right.
Somebody's going to always be able to go on the internet, you know, as long as the internet still exists in 30 years, and be able to type in Hidden Truths and your name is going to pop up, your podcast is going to pop up, and they'll be able to hear your voice. That's still a legacy,
right?
You know, rappers and hip hop entertainers and stuff like that, people that has died, Biggie, Tupac ain't had no kids, but he left a legacy.
Exactly.
You know, he left a catalog of music for us to still enjoy to this day, and it's been 20 years since he died,
right?
But he left a legacy behind. So yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you don't have to have children in order to leave a legacy. It's the impact that you made, like you say, in your community, what you did with your life and your time that was here on this earth. How did you use it? What value did you leave, you know, leave here? And how are people going to remember you when you're no longer here?
Right.
I think it's interesting because I have an older brother, and he has three kids. And he strives hard to give his kids what he didn't have. And I think a lot of families like that. I think you probably feel the same way. Do you know, you want your kids to have what you didn't have when you were younger. The thing is, though, seeing that and seeing close people to me, sometimes that can be a negative, because the generations that are coming up behind us are kind of thinking that they're owed that. And right. So they don't appreciate it. Yeah, that entitlement. And they don't understand that, you know, it's almost like, they don't understand what a legacy is. They don't understand that this is not just for you. It's for beyond you. It's for your kids' kids. And so they take advantage of that. Like, I have a niece and nephew that they expect new J's and they expect, you know, Air Force Ones and new clothes and the hottest laptops. And I'm like, y'all don't understand. Y'all really don't get the point of what it takes for us to give you this stuff and continue to show you that, hey, we don't just want you to get this for you for the moment. You want everything we give you, from the lessons we teach to the items we give you to the money we save up for your schooling or whatever. We want you to take that and let it grow and pass it on also. But I think we live in a community, especially the black community, where I don't know if those lessons are being taught as strong as they should be.
I don't think the lessons are being taught either, not in the majority of communities, black households, I'll say, because you're absolutely right. We didn't have, so I don't want my children to struggle, so I'm going to give them everything that I can. But what we tend to miss out on is in giving them everything. It doesn't have to always be materialistic. What about the lessons that you missed out on? What about, investing? What about how to become an entrepreneur? What about, you know, how to deal in a world that is racist? You know, how not to make some of the same mistakes that you made. So those are the things, the intangibles that we're missing when we're wanting to pass down things that we didn't have. We're missing out on the bigger picture. It doesn't matter if, you know, I can get my child this amount of J's because I didn't have it, or this game system because I never had it. Okay, what are they going to do with that other than play with it and wear it and get bored with it after a couple months, if that?
That's it.
And then the other thing with that too, I think success is going to be cyclical throughout generations, because when you look at it, when you have a child being raised with a sense of entitlement, that means they're not going to have a work ethic to grind for themselves. And when they actually get out in the real world, they're not going to know how to deal.
Right.
So if they do have kids, they're not going to be able to really pass down. I mean, unless there's divine intervention and they realize what they need to do to make it. If they grow up and become an adult with a sense of entitlement, there's no accountability, there's no drive, there's no ambition, that's what they're going to be passing down to their kids. And then their kids are going to have to work that much harder to make it because they didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And then I think that pattern is going to continue to repeat up, down, have, don't have, because we're missing the key elements of what defines a legacy. You know, it, like I said, it, the materialism, you know, that comes and goes, but it's those intangibles that you really carry forward. You know, I look at how I was brought up. Yeah, I remember, you know, a lot of the, you know, clothes my parents would buy me and all that. But more importantly, I remember the times that we shared, the advice that they gave. Actually, let me pause right there. Two of the most, I think what my dad considers the most important pieces of advice that he ever gave me came when I was about early 20s. It was about dealing with women. So this is my dad's advice.
Why is it that all dads' most important stuff is about dealing with women?
It's about dealing with women.
Got experience with it.
Yeah, got experience with it. This how you got it. Piece of advice number one, my dad tells, and keep in mind now, I'm at my early 20s. Well, you got to be careful with these women out here. They'll try to trap you. Piece of advice number one.
Okay.
All right. Duly noted. Piece of advice number two from Ernest Sr. I am a junior, by the way. So piece of advice number two. You're going to go through a whole lot of women in your day. Just keep living. You're going to go through a whole lot of women in your day. Okay. So what am I supposed to do with this now? That's advice.
Best advice in the world. Like, bet on, you understand okay. It now, though.
So first you tell me I'm going to go through a lot of women. Then you tell me to be careful because they'll trap you.
Semi-contradiction.
I think
you might be a little bit late on the draw there. Quick draw. But that's my dad, though. You know, I love him, man. Again, you know, you teach what you can and you give your children the advice that you can. But, you know, apart from that, you know, I was just being funny there. But my dad taught me work ethic. You know, I never saw my dad without a job, which was funny too, because when I was having some candid conversations with my mom, I was like, what's one of the biggest things that you learned about dad, like, you know, after y'all got married or whatever? And she was didn't hesitate, didn't skip a beat. Oh, your daddy was lazy. I was like, and that kind of shook me. Right. Like, what? He always had a job when I was alive. He was like, she was like, yeah, when you were alive, but before that, nah, your daddy was lazy. But even with that, at least he had the culpability to say, you know what, I got a son now, I got to provide for this household. So he always taught me the value of hard work. Same thing with my mom.
Yeah.
You know, never beg for anything. Work hard to get what you want in life. You know, be respectful. Treat people right. It'll come back to you.
Yeah.
You know, show love. So those were the things that have to find their legacy within me. And those same attributes are some of the same things that I pass on to this day. So, you know, even if, you know, I die today, hope that doesn't happen. But, yeah, even if I die.
Too much death talk.
Hey, man. Hey. Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, two of the most realest things that you can guarantee in life, death and taxes.
Right, basically.
And actually, you know, in terms of death, man, that's like we talked about. You mentioned insurance policies earlier. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that we as Black people tend not to talk about until it's too late. You know, we don't talk about insurance policies until we need it, until somebody's damn near on their deathbed, right, and they, you know, they can't, there's no power of attorney to speak for their wishes when they're in an incapacitated state.
But right? I think a lot of people don't talk about it. I mean, other than they're scared, but they don't understand that it's important. Like, just because you don't have anything, you actually have stuff. It's just people don't understand. They think you gotta have millions of dollars to have a power attorney or something. I mean, you have something going on in your life where if you were to go, that there might be a fight. I don't care if it's a car, a house, a small bank account with a couple thousand in it, that's something. People don't understand that they have more than what they really have.
And not even just that, not even just, you know, passing on your belongings and splitting your attributes, but also it's, well, how is all this getting paid for?
Right.
How's these hospital stays getting paid for? Who's paying for the funeral? Who's paying for the burial? What ends up happening is you get there and people start looking at each other.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, my daddy say, if he gone, he ain't worried about it.
Basically.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's on y'all.
Yeah, that's what happens. But that's, when you think about it, that's a selfish way to think.
That is.
That's a very selfish way to think, because you got family that's going to have to deal with your affairs after you pass. So you never want to wait until that moment, until it's damn near too late, to start thinking about planning for those things. You do those things like right now,
right,
you know, when you have sound mind and body to do so. But you're not to get too far off tangent with that. But again, it goes back to, you know, leaving that legacy. You know, your offspring or your family is having to deal with this legacy of financial strain.
Yeah,
that's what you're passing on. You're passing on debt. You're passing on financial strain and obligations. So, so yeah, like I said, man, for me, it's more so about making an impact to society. You know, making me better, and then in turn, making me better will help me be a better person, a better leader, a better mentor, a better friend to those I encounter.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I definitely in terms of my dad, kind of like, similar situation where my dad wasn't in the house, but he was always there if I needed him, you know, in terms of talking to him or whatever. I grew up in South Carolina and my dad stayed in New Jersey, so that's, you know, 700 some odd miles away. But if I needed anything, I could always call him. If, you know, if I needed to talk to him, if I needed some money, whatever, he was a great provider. You know, he was always there to provide whatever I needed. If I needed to talk to him, he would talk to me, he would give me advice. You know, I played sports. He would drive all the way down from Jersey. That's a 12-hour drive. He'd drive down to South Carolina just to see me play and then turn back around the next day and go back up to Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like, so things like that still sticks out in my mind, and I still appreciate stuff like that, because even though he wasn't here physically, he was still there to support. And because there's a lot of dads that may live down the street and don't even go see their kids, don't talk to their kid, don't have nothing to do with their kids. And it's like, man, it's not the kid's fault. But that's the legacy that you're going to leave. And then, you know, you never know who you're raising or who that kid is. That kid grew up to be LeBron James. And now you like,
show up with your hand out.
Yeah, now you wishing you would have taken care of that kid. That, you wishing you'd been he a got part game. Of it.
Jesus showed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then you know, kid's looking at you sideways like, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's the legacy that you left.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully they don't use that as a crutch to then turn around and be a bad father as well. Like, right. Well, I didn't have anybody show me. Because some people will use that as an excuse mm-hmm. to turn around and be a bad. Well, I didn't have anybody teach me. So, you know, this is what I know. You know, as opposed to breaking that cycle.
It goes one or two ways in a situation like that. You know, for men and women both. You know, I didn't have. Well, I'm not speaking for me internally, but these are the thoughts that goes through somebody like that's mine. Mm-hmm. I didn't have somebody in my life. I didn't have a father in my life to show me, you know, the ins and outs, whatever, show me love. I'm not gonna show love to anybody because I don't know how to do it. Other times, it can be just the opposite. Since I didn't have, I'm going to try that much harder to not be him or her. And, you know, it can be a two-way street. I mean, it comes down to the person and the level of accountability, you know, they're being in touch with who they are. So yeah, that can go either way. But let me ask y'all this. In terms of legacy, what's the legacy that you want to leave? Not just for your kids, but just in general, for society, for your communities, whatever. What's going to be, you know, when somebody reads your, obituary or whatever.
There we go with death again.
yep. It's a very real thing, man. Sorry to be so morbid today, but it's a very real topic. So what are those things that you're grinding to leave behind? And really, it doesn't even have to be between death and you start building your legacy from the time that you're born. Mm-hmm. So what are those lessons? What are those facets of your legacy that you're grinding to leave?
I know the one thing that I really hope that's left behind is just how good of a person I really am, because I know deep in my heart that I'm not a bad person, and I want people to know that, you know, Jay was somebody that, you know, was genuinely a good person, not one of these people out here that was out to get him. Just was a good person.
I don't know about that.
It's always weird. Well, clearly so much said. We see that ain't gonna happen.
Maybe everybody else.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's just, you know, when you live and you see how much negativity is in the world, sometimes you want to be that one positive that adds to the other side. Try to balance some sheets out between good and bad. So,
yin and yang.
Hopefully, that people will say that, you know, he was a very good person, and not lie about it. I think I've been to enough funerals stuff where the only thing they, he was a good person, but is it true? Is that really a true thing?
Killed three people. What are you talking about?
That's the reason he's dead now.
He sold drugs 15 years and killed three people. What are you talking about?
He's in a better place.
Okay. I gained an angel. All right. Hell's angel.
So that's probably the biggest thing before giving back to my family and friends, just being known as the real person I am in my heart is a good person.
Got you.
I would say two things. Aside from like my kids, just like people in general, I want them to always be able to say that I was willing to help. That I never shied away from helping somebody. And that help could be in many different forms. It doesn't necessarily have to be financial help. It could be help and, you know, just lending a helping hand, helping somebody move, like Jamie. You know,
for the record, I have had this dude move me and a couple other people
in the rain,
might I add. I was there.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Several times. So yeah. I will be the first to say at your.
Oh, when that day comes. Oh, trust me, your number will get called.
I will got a be like
bunch of stuff. Two kids. Oh, I know. God, right. That's gonna be a long move.
Oh, yeah.
But don't move.
But I think that I definitely want them to be able to be like, you know what, he was a very helpful person. He didn't mind. He would give somebody the shirt off his back, the shoes off his feet, and I truly would, you know, and that's something that I want to make sure that people understand and that I would pray that they realize that, you know, whenever that time does come or even when I'm older. Yeah, while I'm live, I'm a big advocate of giving me my flowers while I still can smell them. Like, mm-hmm. you know, tell me how much you appreciate me and love me and all this other stuff now. Because when I die, I mean, because we don't know what's on the other side, I don't know if I'm going to hear that or not or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. So tell me now. Make me feel good now about it. And then the second part is that he was that glue. Like, I'm the glue of my family, I think I can say. I'm the one that people always go to. I'm the go-to person, and not saying that I have all the answers, because I don't know. Sometimes I'm be like, I just say I don't know what to say.
I've you know? Never heard you say that.
You may not have.
What,
but
he doesn't know. What
he doesn't know. He think he know everything.
I've had Mr. Jeopardy.
I wish Jim was here right now.
Jim would concur with me and say that sometimes.
Mister, that ain't turkey bacon.
That is another podcast right there.
we got a whole episode dedicated to turkey bacon.
But that's on the what are the cons of dating me episode. Y'all need to go
watch that one.
Listen to that one. But yeah, like I'm the glue of the family, and so even my brother told me that, man. He was like, man, you like the glue of the family. So I always want them to be like, you know what? Despite our differences, despite whatever we went through, that he was always that person that's trying to bring us together, that's trying to have peace, that's trying to, you know, be like, hey, if you have a difference with this person, if you guys have some grievances, we all need to come together and we need to talk about it. We need to have a family meeting about it. Like, I'm that person, and I hope that everybody in my family, and even my friends, like, recognize that, hey, I'm that person that, let's talk about it. It just because we're talking about it or we disagree about something doesn't mean that it's going to go to an argument.
Right.
We can agree to disagree on things. We can not see eye to eye and still love each other and be friends and be kind and helpful towards one another. So the legacy that I want my kids to know, that I want my wife to know, my friends and people that even don't know me but can talk to someone else, to be like, you know what, that dude right there was a helpful dude. He would, you know how we always hear people say, man, he'll get a shirt off his back. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want people to say, to know and to say about me.
Got you. For me, I think the legacy that the legacy that I don't even say the legacy that I'm building, but the legacy that has kind of embraced me, the legacy that chose me, is, you know, one of the things I think people can always say is, Ernest made me think. Mm-hmm. He made me think about this a little bit differently than I normally would have. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I, you know, not necessarily intentional, but, you know, because I think a lot, you know, I think about things and, you know, a ton of different angles and vantage points, and you know, that's one thing that's definitely part of my legacy, is I made people think outside the box. Motivation, motivating people to chase their dreams, to not be afraid to be themselves, you know, to just be honest and be comfortable with who you are as a person. You know, I'm one of those people, I try not to judge, although I do. But I accept people for who they are at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you some stuff you might not like, but at the end of the day, it's coming from a place of love. And also teaching the value of having a strong work ethic. You know, that's why I name my business and, you know, my IG pages and my social media pages, Mr. No Excuses, because excuses are the crutches for complacency. And mm-hmm. when you're complacent, you become stagnant. And in a world where things are constantly changing and evolving, there's no place for stagnation. Yeah, true, you want to hold on to some of your core beliefs, but you can't stay in the same place that you were yesterday or the day before, because you'll get left behind. Yeah. So you always have to embrace knowledge, embrace new ideas, embrace just being able to learn, you know, using your brain to think. You know, knowledge, the application of knowledge, is where the power lies. And I know it's a cliche saying, but you know, that's true. They always say, you know, if you want to hide stuff from black people, put it in the book. Put it in the book. Because that's one of the things that we tend not to do.
Not to do, yeah.
So yeah, that's one of the things that I always encourage is, you know, from friends to people I mentor to family members or other, I'm always recommending something to read or, you know, a documentary or, you know, whatever, because I want people, you don't have to agree with me. Like you say, no one has to ever agree with me, but what I want people to do is think for yourself. You know, don't be afraraid to go against the grain, be fearless and be bold in every move that you make. If it's something that you want to do it today. Don't wait until tomorrow, because here's another cliche saying, tomorrow's not promised, the next minute ain't promised,
right?
So why wait for something that is not guaranteed when you have the aptitude to do it today? So, you know, all those things are what is building and defining my legacy. So with that, I want to go around table, see if anybody has any social media tags that they want to put out there, how people can get in contact with you, any projects that you might have going on, anything that you might want to share to help people get in contact with you, people that want to maybe start building that legacy.
Well, IG page JEDeWitt82.
All right, and I'm at IG on at Von_Tuff, VON_TUFF. Also check out my Chameleon Love podcast with my wife Jennifer. You can also follow that at Chameleon Love Podcast. You can also check out my first episode was uploaded to Apple Podcasts as well as Google Podcasts. Check us out, like it, subscribe it, appreciate it.
Yeah, and I think it should be available anywhere you can.
Yeah,
podcast.
Yeah.
Those are the main two.
Yeah, but anywhere that you can podcast, you should be able to find Stitcher,
whatever platform you
Anchor,
use.
All that stuff.
Yeah, look for them. They dope too. I love, one of the things I love about y'all's podcast is, and one of the things that I've always admired about y'all's relationship in general is y'all are very transparent about the ups and the downs of relationships. You know, a lot of times people just focus on the glitz and the glamour of their relationship. Or on the flip side, they'll all only focus on the negative of the relationship. But obviously, like we know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's balance.
Gotta have that balance. There's some great glitz and glamour about it, but there's also some dirt and some mud that you gotta roll in, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes get up, wash off, and then you can become that shiny object again.
Right.
But, you know, some people either, like you say, choose to focus on too much of the positive or too much of the negative. And, you know, we just try to find a balance in there to tell you about, hey, this is what we went through and this is the tough times that we faced, but, you know, this is what got us to the point where we are now.
Right. We're still here.
Exactly.
We're still here. And that's a very beautiful thing, man.
And that's
very
a beautiful legacy as well. Leaving that legacy.
A legacy of love, a legacy of trust. I mean, because, you know, your kids or, you know, people see that and get inspired by it, because black love still exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, black love still
very
exists
strong.
And it's very powerful. It's very strong. So, you know, it's breaking down those stigmas that we see in the black community. So that's one thing I'm always inspired by and admire about you guys' relationship. So, definitely check out the Chameleon Love podcast. Very, very dope. Very dope. As always, this is Mr. No Excuses on the Hidden Truths podcast. If anybody would ever like to be a guest, or if you have potential topics that you think would be good for us to discuss, you can always check us out, social media platforms, Hidden Truths podcast. And you can also drop us a email if you would like to do so, thehiddentruthspodcast@gmail.com. As always, kings and queens, stay up. We out.